So today I want to talk about God stories. We all have them, and God tells us to tell them. So I'm going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's a passage we all probably know. It's the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And here's the part that I really want you to hear. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And then skipping down to verse 20. When your sons ask you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and grievous, against Egypt and us, and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give to our fathers. Stories. That's what Israelites shared. The Bible was written years after the stories happened. How did they get how did Moses know the stories in Genesis? They were told from generation to generation. The Bible's full of stories. And what I love about those stories is most of them have to do with God walking in relationship with man. Not about religion, but relationship. God walking with man. It was Adam and Eve in the garden, walking in the cool of the day. You get all the way through Scripture until you get to Revelation, where we get eternity in relationship with God. And I'd posit that many of us are very good at teaching God's law. We're very good about teaching Scripture. But are we good about teaching our story? Our walk with God? Do we tell that to our children and our grandchildren and the generations to come? Often we think our story is insignificant. Some of us go, well, you know, yeah, it happened. It's not a big deal. But what I've found, as I've started to tell my stories through blogs, and Dan does a blog, which if you don't get it, I do recommend his blog. Wildernesspreacher.com, I think, is what it is. What I've found is the stories that I tell that I think are going to have least impact are the ones I get more feedback on. They're the ones that people go, oh man, that hit close to home. Or the ones that I don't really want to tell because they show my failure. They show my weaknesses. They show me not doing it right. Those are hard. But those are hugely important. And as I was asking the Lord, what stories? I could stand up here for 2 hours. Coy can say 10 minutes, but you know, I can get 2 hours, get going. I won't, Coy, don't worry.
Well, you can have more than 10 minutes.
I was asking the Lord, what stories to tell you guys this morning? Hey, guys, how about this one? That one's a good one. No? He kept bringing back to my mind a story, and I kept going, no, I don't want to tell that one. It doesn't show my good side. But finally I said, okay, Lord, that's what you want told. So the background is, in 2002, Dallas, my wife and I, planted a church. I was bivocational. I'm a CBA by training, and I don't carry my license anymore, but I was in public accounting for 20 years. Bivocational pastor, raising 3 daughters, running a growing firm with employees and clients and all of that, and pastoring a church. Oh, by the way, Dallas was working on a master's degree, so I got to pick up a lot of the taxi service for the 3 girls who at the time were preteen and teen. So, you know, dance and gymnastics and music and running all over the place. And what I ended up doing is I allowed myself to get burned out. Summer of 2008. Well, let me back up two summers. 2006. My mom was diagnosed and 7 weeks later passed from cancer. It's hard to lose your mom. It's even harder when she's a key employee in your CPA firm. Oh, she also ran the children's ministry at the church and handled most of the admin functions for the church. I kept it going, but 2008, I knew it wasn't going to last. I was burned out. I wasn't doing good. Yeah, it looked like from the outside I had it together, but I didn't. So I went to some others and asked for help. And what happened? Instead of helping, they took the opportunity to effectively facilitate a takeover of the church. Anybody who has planted a church knows that's a baby. It's a child of yours. Just as much as my three daughters. And on October 31st, 2008, we stepped out of the church. And I didn't respond well. I was hurt. I was angry. I was bitter. For 2 years, I told God, I'm done with your church. I don't like your people. I will never work in ministry again. God, I don't know how I feel about you. Two years. Dark, dark days. And the story of the prodigal son hits home. Because just like that prodigal son, when I turned back, my father was there. God was there. He wasn't there going, Mark, how dare you? He wasn't there with shame. He wasn't there with condemnation or guilt. You know what he was there with? The words he spoke to me. I love you, son. I love you, son. I hadn't been following him. One time we were down in Texas at my in-laws, First Baptist Church of Bay City, Texas. My wife was singing the special music. I made every effort to go. I showed up, and I walked out of that service. That's how hurt and bitter I was. That's how ugly I was to God. And yet, what's the point of the story? His love. His love for me. A couple years after, I had the 2 years of just severe ugliness. Then I had about 2 years of restoration. Wrestling. Who am I? Who is God? What is all of this? Learning about forgiveness. That's a key. Huge. But through all of that, his message to me was, I love you, son. Now, we're removed a decade from that time period. What has God done with it? He's the God of redemption. He's the God that uses our failures. Today, as Coy alluded, I'm back in ministry. but this time not bivocationally. Because God saw fit to redeem me, to redeem my hurt. So what I get to do today, what Dallas and I do, is we come alongside pastors and missionaries and churches. We get to walk with them in those dark days, or hopefully before those dark days come. We get to identify with what they're going through because God has brought us through. And we get to bring hope into that darkness. We get to bring hope into those hurting places. Oh, the stories I cannot tell you about what God has done in the lives of the people that we have ministered with. Oh, what God has done. The restorations, the healing, the love that He has shown. Can't tell you because of privacy and confidentiality. My wife is a licensed professional counselor, so we have to follow all the HIPAA stuff and whatnot, but He is so good. So good. God, at 4 o'clock this morning, gave me permission to tell you one more story, a fun one, before we wrap up. It has to do with ice cream. So as we were in the transition from being a CPA and selling my practice and figuring out what God wanted us to do in ministry, I told God, I'll go into full-time ministry. I just don't want to start anything from scratch. He said, yeah, we'll see. And so he let us interview with some ministries. One was in Canada. We were actually offered the position up there after we were interviewed, and we prayed, and as well as it fit humanly, we knew it wasn't where God wanted us. But while we were there, we were having dinner at a home. The hostess was one of those really nervous, very kind lady, but she was just very nervous about hosting. And she just wanted everything to be just right. And she did a great job with dinner. She goes in the kitchen, comes back with dessert. 2 cartons of ice cream. Now, why is that a big deal? Well, sometime in the last 10 years, I developed this lactose intolerance issue. It hurts. I love ice cream. It's a great thing. She didn't come out with ice cream and brownies. She didn't come out with ice cream and cookies. She came out with ice cream. So I'm sitting there going, Lord, if I don't eat ice cream, she's going to be offended or she's going to be hurt. And I do not want her to be hurt. So God and I had this little moment of, okay, what do I do? And I decided, I'll take the pain. I can have a scoop of ice cream and be uncomfortable, but I'll be okay. So what does she do? She serves a bowl of ice cream. Not a scoop, but a bowl of ice cream. And I'm going, Lord, oh Lord. This is one of those moments, you know, we hear missionaries talk about, if I put it down, Lord, you're going to keep it down? I had one of those moments. I said, Lord, I'll do it. And every bite of that ice cream tasted so good. And every bite I'm going, oh, this is going to hurt so bad. And you know what God did? All through the night, got up next morning, zero ill effects. Zero. I'm healed! Right? Came back, tested that theory, and no. I was not healed, but God was so good. He honored my obedience and gave me the pleasure of a giant bowl of ice cream. So wrapping up, I want to apologize to my elders this morning for my generation. I grew up in the 70s and 80s. We weren't, it was the time after Roe v. Wade and Bible was taken out of schools. We were taught situational ethics and grades of truth and all that. In church, I was taught truth, but my generation has told our elders that your stories don't matter because we weren't interested in them enough. We were more interested in all the channels that were coming on the TV than in your stories. So to my elders this morning, I want to apologize for my generation for not listening to your God stories. And I want to tell you, we need your God stories. My kids, I have kids in their 20s, they need your God stories. My grandkids, when they come, they're going to need your God stories. So I want to hear your God stories. And to facilitate that, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to pass out my card, not necessarily to promote the ministry, but you can check out the ministry if you want. Take one, pass it around. But on this card is my cell phone number, my email address, and our house phone number. If you will tell me your God stories, I'll buy you breakfast or lunch or coffee or whatever you want. But I want to hear your God stories. Send me a text, email, call me, and let's find a time to get together so you can tell me your God stories because they're important. They need told. Joel chapter 1, verse 3 says, tell your children of it. And that your children tell their children, and their children to another generation. God wants his stories told. He wants his scripture that we have these stories, but he wants your stories that he has lived in your life told. So let me know when you want to tell me your stories. Find somebody else and tell them your God stories. Write a blog like Dan has. Write a blog like I have. Tell your God stories. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mark.